Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Cradle to Cradle: Remaking the Way We Make Things is a 2002 nonfiction design and environmental manifesto by architect William McDonough and chemist Michael Brongart. Rather than treating sustainability as a matter of reducing damage, the book argues for redesigning industry so materials can flow safely in closed loops. Its central claim is that waste should be eliminated at the level of design, not managed after the fact through recycling alone. The book draws on industrial ecology, chemistry, and product design to propose a model in which materials are either biological nutrients that can return harmlessly to nature or technical nutrients that remain in continuous industrial use. It is written for designers, manufacturers, architects, and business leaders, but its influence extends into broader debates about the circular economy and regenerative production. The book is both a critique of conventional industrial practices and a practical framework for rethinking how things are made, used, and recovered. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the shift from cradle to grave to cradle to cradle. The book's most important argument is that conventional production follows a cradle-to-grave logic. Raw materials are extracted, turned into products, used, and then discarded as waste. McDonough and Brongart challenge that model by proposing cradle-to-cradle design, where products are created with their next use already built in. This is not a minor efficiency improvement, but a structural redesign of industrial systems. The authors argue that recycling alone often preserves the same linear mindset, especially when materials are downcycled into lower value uses. Instead, they ask manufacturers to design for continuous circulation from the beginning. That changes the role of the designer, who must think about disassembly, recovery, and material purity before a product is ever produced. The significance of this shift is that it reframes waste as a design failure rather than an inevitable byproduct of modern life. Secondly, two material cycles: biological nutrients and technical nutrients. A core mechanism in the book is the distinction between biological nutrients and technical nutrients. Biological nutrients are materials that can safely return to the natural environment and decompose without harm. Technical nutrients are materials intended to remain in closed industrial loops, repeatedly recovered and reused at high quality. This distinction gives the book its practical force because it recognizes that not all materials should be treated the same way. Some belong in ecological cycles, while others belong in manufacturing cycles. The authors use this framework to argue against mixed material products that are difficult to separate and often end up as waste. By designing items so their components can be recovered cleanly, companies can support both environmental safety and material efficiency. The idea is not simply to use less material, but to use the right material in the right cycle. That makes material chemistry, product composition, and disassembly central design concerns rather than afterthoughts. Thirdly, safe chemistry and the problem of toxic design. The book places heavy emphasis on material safety, especially the avoidance of toxic substances in products and manufacturing. McDonough and Brongart argue that many industrial goods are not truly sustainable because they contain chemicals that complicate reuse, recycling, or safe decomposition. In their view, a product cannot be considered well-designed if its material ingredients create long-term ecological or human health risks. This is a significant departure from approaches that focus only on reducing emissions or packaging waste. The book insists that green design must begin with chemistry. If a product cannot be safely reintegrated into a biological or technical cycle, then the design is incomplete. That reasoning also has business implications, since safer materials can lower liabilities, expand recovery options, and make product systems more resilient. The book does not treat toxicity as a side issue. It treats chemical composition as one of the main determinants of whether a product fits a regenerative system. Fourthly, renewable energy and design inspired by natural systems. Another major theme is that production should rely on clean, renewable energy and should be modeled on how natural systems operate. The authors argue that nature functions through constant solar income and cyclical material flows. So industrial design should follow similar principles rather than depending on finite resources and pollution-intensive energy sources. Renewable energy is therefore not an optional add-on. It is one of the foundational conditions for a truly restorative economy. The book also emphasizes diversity, suggesting that successful design should respond to local conditions rather than forcing one universal industrial model everywhere. This idea broadens the concept of sustainability beyond materials alone. It connects energy, geography, climate, and cultural context. In practice, the book encourages designers to think about systems rather than isolated objects, since a product's environmental performance depends on the energy used to make it, the context in which it is used, and the ecosystem into which it returns. This systems view is one reason the book became influential in circular economy thinking. Lastly, from minimizing harm to designing for value and regeneration, The book is notable for rejecting the idea that sustainability means only doing less bad. Instead of framing environmental responsibility as damage control, McDonough and Brongart present design as a positive force that can create value, improve quality, and support better industrial systems. This is an important conceptual move because it gives businesses a constructive standard rather than a purely defensive one. Companies are not asked only to reduce toxicity or cut waste. They are encouraged to create products and processes that generate beneficial outcomes across their life cycles. That approach helps explain why the book influenced corporate sustainability strategies and certification practices. Its framework is attractive to firms because it links environmental responsibility with innovation, material recovery, and product differentiation. At the same time, the book remains more radical than ordinary green business writing because it argues that the entire logic of production must change. Its lasting contribution is the claim that industry can be redesigned to imitate the effectiveness of natural systems rather than merely limit its harms. In conclusion, Cradle to Cradle Remaking the Way We Make Things is best suited for readers who want to understand sustainability as a design problem rather than only an ethical or regulatory one. Designers, architects, engineers, product developers, and business leaders will gain the most from its framework. But it is also useful for anyone interested in environmental policy or the circular economy. Its main practical benefit is that it offers a clear way to think about materials, energy, and product end of life together, instead of treating them as separate issues. Intellectually, it stands out because it is not satisfied with incremental eco-efficiency. Many books in this genre focus on reducing harm, consumption, or waste. This one argues for a positive industrial model in which materials are continually circulated and products are designed for safe return. That makes it more ambitious than standard green business writing and more concrete than abstract environmental theory. Its influence comes from combining a strong moral critique with an actionable framework that companies and designers can actually apply. If you would like to support William McDonough, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.